Steve, you had a little life-changing event recently. Tell us about it.
Well, I had my son.
What's the biggest surprise of having a baby boy?
The sense that it's very surreal.
His biggest surprise was it wasn't a girl.
It wasn't that we planned on a girl so much. I mean, we...
Sure, Pat and Steve laugh about the unpredictable, but they also take the guesswork out of getting healthy. Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. Pat Hopkins and Stephen Roberts are both leading doctors of functional medicine in Greater Boston. They empower patients and unravel underlying root causes of illness. Their wisdom will give the rest of us a roadmap to a healthier life. So settle in as Pat and Stephen live life out loud.
It's not that I have anxiety about everything. I think the one thing that does come out is just wanting to make sure that he's breathing all the time.
Well, congratulations, Pat. There's a whole bundle to unpack of what Stephen's going through. You and I have grown up children, and I remember saying early on when my son was just born, the goal of a parent in the first 2 years is to keep the baby alive.
Right, and I learned that was not to let my husband babysit. So that was one of the first goals.
You listen to Stephen, who just had a baby. You have grown children. Parenting has changed in the last 35 years.
Well, you know, it's what the good news is, there's blackout moments, and you will erase all of this from your brain. And when you have grandchildren, you will relive it. Not at all. You just go, oh my God, this is so much fun. You forget the trials and tribulations. That's why you get pregnant again. You do it again.
It's called amnesia.
Amnesia. You're right. You just will forget and erase it. But I mean, I think that the struggle having daughters that are in Steve's generation and having their own children, there's so much information. We didn't have that. We had Dr. Spock and we lost the book.
In the 35-year difference between Stephen and you, a lot has changed in medicine. Is there some umbrella thought that you have that you're concerned about?
What basically led me to this point in my practice was having a child with spina bifida in 1988. And I couldn't believe that we didn't know about folic acid in the late 80s. And it was really a turning point in my career to say, folic acid, we didn't even know when to start it. You know, we're heading into the 1990s. So those events changed the way I viewed the world and how we advise patients. And as physicians, we didn't read the books because we're like, oh, we did pediatrics. We'll be fine. We got through our neonatal ICU rotation. We did fine. So I tended not to worry about the little things. What really began to worry me were the bigger things that we had no control about.
Like what?
Nutrition, the environment. I remember going to the school and saying, we have no computers at home. And they said, well, Dr. Hopkins, all of their material will be on the computer. They have to do the computers. And I fought that till just about the year 2000, that we had one computer in the house. That worry is now exploded into iPads and iPhones and Wi-Fi. We didn't have any of that. I think the challenges are enormous for the impact on health that crosses wealth. Everyone has to not worry about these things, but you have to become knowledgeable. We had no vaccines when we were young. Now you've got vaccines. We had no Wi-Fi. Now you have Wi-Fi. Nutrition. We thought, hey, we have grocery stores. Now even that's not the optimal. So how do you optimize wellness? I think that's the big shift.
Let's talk about the information explosion, because while we have so much more at our fingertips, there's also a lot more confusion out there. And I think that a lot of consumers just put up their hands to say, it's too much. It's overwhelming. I can't even get through this.
This has actually kind of led to some of my life mantras and philosophies that I've tried to develop for myself, because, you know, even in the 90s, when I was growing up, I commonly would hear things about, well, this thing is associated with cancer, or that thing's associated with cancer. And these were common things like in our food supply or everyday things we were exposed to the point where, you know, I would have friends who would say, well, everything causes cancer, you got to live. It was really more carefree, or a little bit speaks to your point of, well, there's so much that we don't know and it's too hard to master this information, so why even bother at all? I've evolved from that thought process more to the point where I'm thinking, well, you know what? I may not get everything right. I may not be able to master all these things all at once, but I need to at least start doing things in stages and in steps. And as I learn about things, try and implement them to the best of my ability and see if it really isn't that inconvenient for me to do these things. And so my new thought process on this is I need to try and do the best I can with the information I have and that I know. And, you know, maybe in a year or two, I'm going to realize that something I thought was right isn't right. And then I can't fault myself for that. I just have to then be responsible for the new information I have.
So, Pat, you see patients ongoing, and they must come to you with sometimes factual information and sometimes just crazy myths that you must be scratching your head. How do you navigate real life face-to-face patient when they come to you with information?
When you were saying that, is it the inconvenient truth or the convenient truth? We're constantly on that track of what is the convenient truth. So when a patient comes to me with a lot of information, you know, we sit down and we discuss it. Why do they need that information? Why were they looking? The important thing is, why did they choose that path of knowledge to access? So I become their reference point. So maybe I'm the filter to get to, sometimes it's an inconvenient truth or it's a convenient truth.
What's interesting is that in the olden days,
yeah,
you used to be, as a doctor, God. You would be the first voice and the last voice. Yeah. And now you are one of many voices.
Right. I actually did a survey as a rheumatologist. I wanted to know, where did my patients go for surgery? If you had a doctor who was a rheumatologist, I mean, I'm a rheumatologist. I deal with joints. I've been around for 35 years in practice. I might know who does a good job. And they'll come to me and they'll say, well, my cousin's sister's friend had their knee done here. I'm like, you're using 6 degrees of separation for an opinion. So doctors' opinions. No, patients are using neighbors, internet, their church, their advertising. They are overwhelmed of even the correct path to take. I think it's a hard part.
So what is the solution?
I think it's building a relationship over time. And what I see a lot of patients frustrated with the next generation is that they're not owners of their own practice. They're employed by companies. And so therefore moving in and out of jobs means not a whole lot. You're here 1 week, you can be gone the next. I would say most patients, if you interview them, will have gone through maybe a new primary care doctor every 2 years. I mean, I have patients that have been in this practice 30 years, but that's not the norm anymore.
So they're changing every 2 years because their insurance changes and...
Maybe their doctor changes. Maybe their doctor isn't paying attention to them. Maybe their doctor's only typing on the computer while they're in the room. There's many reasons. Maybe their insurance changed. Maybe they got underinsured. Maybe they lost their insurance. But there's so many aspects of that relationship gets disrupted by now technology, the electronic medical records, and patients not getting from their doctor what they wanted. Doctors are losing, they're losing patients to alternative therapies, alternative access to healthcare, naturopaths, holistic doctors, chiropractor. There's many avenues out there to get opinions about healthcare.
Well, this would seem like a good thing in a lot of ways, that the consumer is taking control of their own health and they are not going to stand by and just accept the doctor is God myth and looking for better solutions to live a better life, wouldn't you say, Steve?
I think there's definitely positive advantages to what I would kind of categorize as self-empowerment or empowerment to the patient, because ultimately I'm not responsible for all of my patient's health. I'm responsible for giving them guidance, is the way that I view it, and trying to help them navigate what is a very complex system.
Well, you know, when you said I'm not responsible for your health care, I think we're responsible for their health care, but not their health.
That encapsulates what I meant to say.
We are kind of on the line for your health care. I mean, I take it personally, and I say to all my patients, you had a stroke, you had surgery, you have cancer. I see you through your course of treatment. It is never, I'll see you for your yearly physical. Because your wellness takes place those other 364 days. So what does that look like?
To Pat's point, you know, not all of my patients have stayed with me. And it's not only a dissatisfaction with doctor-patient relationships. I think that my generation, you know, as opposed to Pat's generation, my father stayed with the same company for 40 years. And that is not the case. I don't think any of my friends have stayed at the same place for, you know, more than 10 years that I'm aware of right now.
And how does that affect healthcare?
Well, I think it affects your portability and stability in a community. I've had a lot of traveling type jobs. So I've been in Alaska, California, Australia, Timor-Leste, a number of other, you know, countries. I've been in Maine, and now I'm locating to Massachusetts, hopefully in a little bit more of a stable fashion now, and I'll be integrating myself into this community a lot more. But I think doctors are more portable in terms of where they go. I think that families are a little bit more global, but that's not just your doctor doing that, that's also your patients doing that. And so having the same family have the same family doctor for three generations and, you know, 60 years, I would have to say that definitely is less common now. And while, yes, I am responsible for the decisions I make in helping guide someone through their care, ultimately, I can't tell someone what's the best thing to do for them in their life to make sure that they have the best healthcare that they can have. I will absolutely do everything in my power to make sure that I'm giving them the best advice I know how, that's most up to date and the most current, and that, you know, will not do them harm. You know, I definitely hold myself to that standard, but the patients who are going to do the best are going to be the ones who actually are engaged in their own decision making.
Hi, it's Ted, taking a second to remind you that The Genius of Wellness is your place for interesting podcasts, tips for living a healthier life, and doctors who provide a personal approach to healthcare. You can find it all, plus make an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. Now, back to our conversation. Pat, what do you hope that the patients and the whole medical community gets out of a podcast like this?
You know, it was an interesting morning. I put out a call to independent physicians, most of them in solo practice or maybe in groups of twos and threes, family docs, pediatricians. We've lost our community, and that's the biggest challenge for the next generation, when you never see anyone. When I started practice, you got up, you were in the doctor's lounge at 8 a.m. Why? It wasn't for the coffee. It was terrible. It wasn't for the donuts. They were stale. But we saw each other. Now no one knows my name or my face, 40 years in practice.
You mean other doctors?
Right. Because we don't go to the hospital. We're not there anymore. I've called a few of these meetings, which is unbelievable. I make the doctor, before they speak, introduce themselves in the meeting. And within every meeting, somebody will go, is that what you look like? You know, I've been talking to you via internet or on the phone for 25 years and I've never met you.
Well, let's take this to the consumer level. Why does this matter to the consumer?
It is developing a relationship. I valued my Rolodex. It was never a call that was a waste of their time or my time. And so all of the specialists all over Boston, they knew if I called them, it was for a real good reason, and they picked up the phone. Never had a problem with that. The next generation, if they don't know what you look like and they can't remember your name, how can you establish that care referral? Because many people have many different physicians in their network of care. The average Medicare patient has 9 providers.
Well, you're touching on what makes you a healthcare savant,
yeah,
Pat.
Right.
And Stephen, fill us in on what unique approach you have to treating patients.
I had a few mentors in a medical school and training, and the chairman of the department at NYU, if you presented a patient and you didn't start with, he lives on 34th Street, he's in a fourth floor apartment, it is a walk-up, and he goes to this job at this time and this hour, he would shut down your presentation. So I was trained that their life was what made their visit important. And if you didn't understand that life, you shouldn't be in the room with the patient.
What's unique about your practice?
I'm still excited about each patient. And when some of the docs go, oh, isn't it boring seeing you doing the same thing every day? And I think, no two people are alike. Their needs are completely different. You're invited into someone's life. What other profession allows you to do that? Besides maybe your attorney.
Stephen, in the last 20 minutes, are you feeling a little bit less nervous or anxious about being a new father?
No, I think I'll certainly get more nervous, I think, as things go on and I realize some of my deficiencies and things I've been kind of, you know, blind to.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your expertise on all of these issues that really have been private issues for us as patients to deal with on ourselves, and having your expertise as part of the conversation, I think the public's going to benefit from that. So, Pat and Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor, share it with your friends and family, and write a review on this podcast channel. It'll help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.